Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
At Woodbine, because we're covering across the border, as it were. Again, thanks to the folks at Woodbine for their hospitality. It's been a great weekend so far, and it continues as there are the Natalma in the summer, grade ones for two-year-olds coming up today on the card. We just did the handicapping show and took a look at the entire card. We'll hit on more of that information as we go through some taped interviews from the backstretch in the jocks room on Friday, talking about some of these connections and their Sunday entrance, and live on the set joining us a little bit later on, Tom Bellhouse from West Point Thoroughbreds. West Point has decorated Invader in the summer this afternoon, coming in from a nice win at Saratoga, so we'll talk about that and more with Tom. And Klaus Ebner, our man up here at Woodbine, talk a little bit about yesterday and the great day here at Woodbine on Woodbine Mile Day, and also some thoughts on today's action as well with Klaus. But let's kick things off with some of the taped interviews. I said during the handicapping show, it was fun yesterday after El Tormenta won the Woodbine Mile 44-1. Eureka Da Silva on board, and we had talked with Eureka Da Silva about that horse on Friday when we met him in the jockey's room, and he said, you know, I'm on a long shot, but I think he's going to run well. He did. Clearly very excited after the race. He announced his retirement earlier, a month ago or so, his pending retirement at the end of this season. But one of the races he didn't have on his resume was the Woodbine Mile, so he did that yesterday. We stood at the bottom floor of the facility as he waited for the elevator to go up and meet the press in the press box after the Woodbine Mile. I gave him a high five, and he said, the interview, lucky interview, because we've talked to him a couple of times in past years, and subsequently he's won some stakes races. So we're the lucky charm, I guess, for Eureka Da Silva. But as I say, it was fun to talk to him about El Tormenta, which we showed yesterday. But we talked today about Keep On Truckin', who he rides in the summer. But also we got some thoughts on the retirement, which is kind of interesting, and what he plans going forward for his next career. So up next, the leading jockey here at Woodbine, Eureka Rosa Da Silva.
Gears and go to Sunday. Sunday, you're on board Keep On Truckin' for Catherine Day Phillips. Two for two so far, including a stake last time.
Keep On Truckin' is going to do it again. Keep On Truckin'. How good is Keep On Truckin'? An enormous margin the first time, and this is going to be the same here in the Clarendon Stakes. Just whitewashes this field, and it's Keep On Truckin'. I love the name because that's exactly what this horse does.
You weren't on board that day, but you were on board for the Maiden Breaker. Both have been nice daylight wins, but stretches out a little bit, tries the turf. What's your takeaway on the race you were on board, Keep On Truckin', and thoughts on the stretch out on Sunday?
Nice horse, talent, lots of brain. The distance is not going to be an issue for him, because also I train him, and he has such a great gallop out.
And now I just wanted to touch on the news that came out a little earlier this year. You're going to be stepping away from the game, going into retirement, and I'm just curious. I was reading some background notes on that. It sounds like it's something you've been thinking about for a while.
Yes, the last 4 years I've been, you know, making a plan for me to retire, and, you know, the time arrived. I really want to spend time with my kids, and the way our life is here, especially in the summertime, is no way I can have that time with my kids. And end of the day, I think for my life, more important for me today is be with my kids.
And from what I was reading, three kids, and what, the oldest is seven?
The oldest is seven. William is seven. Emilia is 3 years old. And Isabel is 9 months.
So you're looking forward to spending time with that, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm looking forward. And also I'm looking forward to work with athletes, you know, on the mental part. I've been also the last three years I've been studying a lot and taking course. I'm a certified coach. I'm looking forward to also work with young athletes.
So that's the next career. You're going to be a life coach.
Yes, yes. Also, you know, if there's opportunity there for me to work with some jockeys, that's what I plan to do.
Was it a difficult decision?
It was very difficult decision. I can tell you that because I love what I do. I love my horses. I have such a great partnership with everybody here. And to leave is very hard.
And I'm sure because you're at the top of your game, once again, as you came into today's racing, I pulled up the Echo Bay stats. You're in the lead again up here. Woodbine last year, a record number of wins, what, 6 sovereign awards. So it's been just a brilliant career and kind of stepping away at the top of the game, well over 11,000 mounts and a couple of thousand, 2,100 plus, almost 2,200 wins. So I'm sure the decision-making process was tough. But as you say, you've been thinking about it for a while.
I've been thinking, and I did this, with a teamwork. You know, I have a great team behind me. I have a mental coach. I have a personal trainer, you know, make sure I come fit right. And I have a great wife who support me, my family. And, you know, such a great team. And plus, I ride for the best trainers. You know, this is what make a difference. Always in my life, I see all the work I did as a team, not only myself.
And as it's getting closer, are you starting to think about it more? Or is this a decision that once you made it, you're committed and you're comfortable?
You know, sometimes come to my mind, but I'm really looking forward to December. Until December 15, I'll be the rider that everybody remember that always did his best.
And what was the reaction from your fellow jockeys?
You know what? A lot of them, they feel, you know, they feel, and I know how they feel. They feel that, you know, it's going to be an empty spot there. You know, we are compete together, but in the same time, we are like family, you know. And I have a great support from them. Some of them say, you know, stay a little longer, and other ones understand. But was very warm feedbacks I received from all the jocks.
Well, certainly we wish you a lot of good luck this weekend, but on the remainder of the career and the season, good luck in the future as well.
Thank you very much, and need to put a lot of focus.
Leaving at the top of his career, Eureka Da Silva, again, up in the press box yesterday after the Woodbine Mile, folks were talking about that race, and somebody said, does that make you reconsider retirement? He said, no, I want to spend time with my kids, being a dad and a husband, and that's going to be the game plan. And so 6-time Sovereign Award winner, had a record number of wins up here at Woodbine last year. He's the leader as far as the jockeys again this year. So as I say, leaving at the top of his game, will retire at the end of this season. Wish the best to Mr. Eureka Rosa Da Silva. All right, let's take a look at an interview with Nick Gonzalez. And again, there's some quick hitters here today, just maybe one or two horses, but stakes runners, or I wanted to touch on some of these two-year-olds that may be on the card to help you get thumbs up or thumbs down on some two-year-olds in pick plays or whatnot. Nick Gonzalez, race number 5 today, has Bizou, who is a second-time starter. So we got some thoughts on that one from trainer Nick Gonzalez.
Sunday, again, another two-year-old, Bizou, comes off a solid second in a pretty good-looking debut at the end of August. Your thoughts on Bizou?
Yeah, another nice baby. I bought him April OBS, even colt then. We gelded him, and it seemed to help him along. And he ran into a bear that first time out. They ran 5.5 and 105, which was a very respectable time. And he was pressed for the lead the whole way. So, you know, just hoping he moves forward off of that race and looking forward to running him again too.
Good luck this weekend.
All right, thanks a lot. We're going to need it.
And again, getting some thoughts. We'll continue on with trainer Stuart Simon. We talked to him on Friday, and yesterday you saw him talk about Yorkton, and congratulations to all the connections there on the win in the Bold Venture yesterday with Yorkton, repeating after last year's win by Yorkton in the Bold Venture. Saw Rob Landry from Chiefswood Stable walk by the set a little earlier, and so congratulated him as well. So Stuart Simon yesterday, Yorkton. See if you can keep the hot streak going. Race number 8 this afternoon. He has a 2-year-old filly, Pipestone, in a maiden special weight event. Got some thoughts on that one from Stuart Simon. We like to check in on the 2-year-olds, and you have one on Sunday, maiden special weight event, Pipestone. Sibling to 12-time winner, Nigan's Glory. What are your thoughts on the debut for Pipestone?
She's been training forwardly, and she's been training a little better each week. She probably wants to run a little further, but hopefully she runs well. I think she'll be finishing well, and down the line when they go further, I think that's going to be important.
And talk a little bit about that in the first start where you're thinking, man, we're just going to try to get some experience. Is that the game plan in these situations? Get them out there, get them some education on the racetrack?
I mean, you always want them to have a good experience their first start, some of them are a little bit more precocious and ready to go the first time than others, yes. But, as some of them, it's just a building block on to better things down.
Good luck this week.
And thank you.
Again, Pipestone in race number 8 this afternoon for Stuart Simon in Chiefswood Stable. All right, we'll head to a break. When we come back, he's in the green room. All of our guests are in the green room. Not actually in the green room. It's in the second floor of the grandstand here by the Tim Hortons. They love their Tims up here. Tim Hortons. And when I arrived, I also quickly bought some Timbits, which are actually donut holes, but they're very good. They're thumbs up. But they love the Tim Hortons here. And that's essentially our green room. That's where everybody gets the green room refreshments by the Tim Hortons right over here. Klaus is in the house, and so we'll have him a little bit later on. But after this commercial, Tom Bellhouse, West Point Thoroughbreds, wishing them a lot of luck this afternoon with Decorated Invader in the Summer Stakes. We'll talk about that one and more right after this. Stay tuned. Here's some exciting news if you like Twilight Racing. Weekdays during the 2019 Belmont Fall Meet, NYRA has moved back their racing schedule by 2 hours, making the new post time at Belmont 3 p.m. So remember, weekdays at Belmont, the new post time is 3 p.m.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Now it's a global series. The best racers from all over the world, the best trainers, the best jockeys.
You can get a free entry into the Breeders' Cup, and everybody wants to run in a Breeders' Cup race.
You get your travel expenses paid for the Breeders' Cup.
Automatic berth takes a lot of pressure off.
If we're considering two different races, and one was a win and you're in and one was not, that would be the tiebreaker.
It's probably the best thing that's happened to racing in the last 10 years.
Breeders' Cup Challenge, win and you're in.
Welcome back live from Woodbine and in one of the stakes races this afternoon, the summer, the Grade 1 event, Decorated Invader, West Point Thoroughbreds off a nice win up at Saratoga. And who's in town for West Point? Tom Bellhouse. Tom, good morning.
Good to see you, Seth. Great
Absolutely.
To be here.
Absolutely. You were up Friday night, went out to dinner, and then Saturday an afternoon at the races. Why don't we get some of your impressions first on the races yesterday, the upset in the Woodbine Mile.
I actually had dinner last night with our trainer up here, Ralphie Beaumont, and Eureka Rosa da Silva is probably one of the most popular guys at all of Woodbine.
He's a great guy.
Well, and it turns out I wasn't aware. He's unbelievably philanthropic. He donates a ton of money, and he is really involved with horse rescue and aftercare.
Oh, nice.
And he's just one of the most loved guys. So the excitement that you saw when he hit the wire, and you know, I think everybody was in disbelief that Get Stormy just didn't hold them off, but it was just great. It was a very popular win up here. Not for my tickets, unfortunately, but I was really happy for him, and it's always nice when the home team gets one.
Yeah, like I say, great guy, and we had that interview with him earlier about his retirement, so wishing him well there, and he's going on to a career as a life coach, and mm-hmm. And he talked yesterday, it was interesting, he talked yesterday in the press box a lot about visualization, and after the situation with Pink Lloyd, he said, you know, I do a lot of visualization, and I had visualized, what if something goes wrong earlier in the day, and I have to clear my mind and train my mind, and I just found it interesting that he's kind of, there's that level of pre-thought on big days like this.
Yeah, I think when you look at so many races, and especially with young horses, if something goes wrong early, you really are happy you have a veteran jock there who doesn't panic and doesn't say, okay, just got to go. I people have heard me joke internally with West Point. It's in the jockey handbook that if you miss the break, you have to be the lead at the quarter pole, which with young horses especially can make you crazy. But no, it was really an exciting win, and I say it's great for the home team. And I hope the home team got it out of their system so us of shippers could have some fun today.
We'll talk about Decorated Invader in a minute, but I just want to talk overall because you and I were talking on Friday night, and I said to you, you guys had to be happy with the Saratoga season. West Point did great. And as I was looking at Equibase and the West Point set, West Point, again, if folks are interested in partnerships, they're all different levels and whatnot. And West Point may or may not be for you, but your website gives people a good idea of partnerships, and you can follow the horses. I just think it's a great way to get some information on that
Absolutely.
Kind of thing. So swing by the website. But going through, I was going down the races, and you can see the results, all the West Point horses. Man, you had a great Saratoga. Really, it was a great summer as well. I'm looking at Del Mar, Arlington, Ellis, wins all over the place.
I mean, it'll always be tough. I believe it was 2007. We had two grade ones at Saratoga with Irish Smoke and with Dream Rush. But this year we had six wins in 6 seconds. It felt like we really led a lot of live horses over. And, you know, there's nothing like winning at Saratoga. You know, you get it out of the way early and all of a sudden everybody's light. You're in a better mood. And then luckily for us, we've had a great fortune to win on closing day probably 4 or 5 times in the last 10 years. And Danny California getting it done on closing day just really took the weight off, and it was kind of a rainy day, but we were thrilled, and it really was the cherry on a fantastic meet. And we, you know, a lot of partners come to town and make the trip to Mecca, the pilgrimage, but you know, we had a lot of support, and our trainers really were up to the task, and it was a great, great meet for us.
I had Sean Smealy on during the meet, who's executive director of the Coalition for Horse Racing Integrity, and we talked a little bit about that with him, but also talked because he's been a partner for a long time, and he was
Absolutely.
In on Originator,
Absolutely.
The first win of the meet. So
the Smealy boys come out in force.
I've known them all virtually my entire life, so it's fun to see him in the winner's circle early in the meet. So you won early, you won late. But as I say, and it's fun. You guys now, if folks are thinking about getting in on a partnership level, really across the country, as I say, from Del Mar to Arlington to Ellis, and we were talking before we went on the air, Kid Mercury at Kentucky Downs.
You know, Kid Mercury is a neat story. We bought him at OBS March. He's a lemon drop kid out of Unbridled Song mare, and Grand Motion really was in love with the horse, brought one of his owners in, Mr. Frazetto, and Graham actually owns a piece of the horse as well. So, you know, he had his, I always call it, Graham has his obligatory Laurel start, which he does with just about all of his big horses. And then he moved him out to Kentucky Downs for the big race there. And it was exciting. It was a great performance, and really gives you, you know, hopefully if everything goes well, we'll take a swing at Keeneland and maybe we'll run an entry at the Breeders' Cup.
Talk a little bit about, because you kind of alluded to it, the sales in general, but you guys were players in Saratoga this year as well.
Well, it seemed like we spent a lot of money on big horses, but after Keeneland, maybe we got some bargains, you know? We did have a very expensive Curlin and Tappet and a beautiful Ghost Sapper and a Mishawish, and we ended up buying two New York breds as well. So for us to come out of the Phasic weekend, let's call it, with pieces of six horses is pretty significant for us. We bought a half to Heart to Heart, a quality road filly at Keeneland so far, and I think we'll be active in late in book two and book three. But I think the team, and Terry in particular, showed great restraint on book one It just got a little out of hand, and and that's really not our bread and butter. I mean, it's great when we can put these deals together and it comes through and we hit a sale topper. But, you know, our bread and butter, our day-to-day operations are that, you know, $75,000 to $300,000 horse, and you're going to see one of them today, Decorated Invader.
Yeah, and again, you get to those later
nice
books.
Segue, huh?
That's where, I'm going to have you on every. Exactly. You're a true professional. And let's get to that Decorated Invader, as you say, a Keeneland purchase, Keeneland September 18. Up at Saratoga in the first career start. I know you guys were high on the horse and just got caught a little bit late, ran second by 3/4 of a length, but we're going to watch. We don't have it on the replay here, but they'll be showing it down in Albany, the replay of the second career. Winner pretty easily, a chart margin of 3 1/4 lengths. And as I say, I know you guys were high on the horse in the first start, but he lived up to it in the second start. Talk a little bit about the Saratoga win.
Yeah, well, I mean, going back to his first start, I think, you know, Christoph's instructions to Ira were pretty simple. Just let him drop his head. Let's see if he can relax, which he was able to do. He was on the rail. He just, you know, you don't see that a lot with young horses, young two-year-olds, just drop in and do what you want. And obviously they went a little slow, and I think that was by affected the buyer number as well.
Yeah, but, 3/4 and 1/15.
Right. But he was able to swing out, and you know, the Mike Maker horse, who had already run it ready, had a nice trip, and one we just didn't catch him. And then we moved on to the race. And that was probably, I'll be honest with you, probably the most nervous I was the whole meet. Because when you have a horse like this that really takes your breath away in the mornings, you know, you were hoping that, like, sometimes when you're expected to win and you see so much promise, you're like, oh, don't let something goofy happen, you know? Kind of like, actually, the With Anticipation Stakes this year, you know, 3 horses got wiped out of the 6-horse field in the first turn. You know, that's what you're hoping doesn't happen. But Junior Alvarado rode him. I read was in Arlington for the day, and he just rode him perfectly. We were much closer to the pace that time, and, you know, really excited us. I mean, really just kind of made a move, and his ears were up, and he's like, where'd everybody go? And it was one of those that, you know, going forward, we're very excited about. And I'd like to think that, you know, Christoph and his son Miguel have been extremely bullish on the colt since day one, and let's see if we can't, you know, get lucky today.
Was the game plan coming out of that race immediately thinking about the win and urine up here in the summer?
Well, I lobbied hard for it, so no. You know, it was either that or the Pilgrim, I think, was the With Anticipation came back too quick, we felt. We've been fortunate and blessed to win this race 2 years ago with Untamed Domain. It was our first win and urine. And, you know, I think spacing, it made a ton of sense. The win and urine makes a ton. It's a grade one. All of the reasons that you would think of. And he was based up in Saratoga after the meet, so it was an easy ship right over, just as easy if he'd have gone down to Belmont.
Nice looking workout, speaking of that, September 6th over at the training track at Saratoga. Were you there?
I was.
How'd it look?
It was awesome. I mean, the horse is awesome.
And Irada Ortiz, as you said, back on board today. He was on board for the career debut. Junior Alvarado on board, as you said, with Irada out of town, but he's coming up to ride, so that, again, has to give you a lot of confidence as well.
Well, I mean, anybody who got to watch him over the summer, I mean, Jose was amazing, but I mean, Irad gave some rides that just took your breath away, and I think watching him yesterday, he was in Churchill Downs riding Dennis's Moment for Dale Romans, and when he has the best horse, he seems to make sure that horse is clear when it matters.
Yeah, he and his brother certainly rocking it in New York and beyond. Tom, appreciate the visit. We certainly wish you a lot of good luck today with the win, and you're in Decorated Invader in the Summer Stakes, again, coming off of that win up at Saratoga. And as they say, wish you a lot of success with the remainder of the season off what, again, overall, Saratoga certainly the pinnacle, but really across the country, a great and successful summer for West Point Thoroughbreds.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Again, coming up, race 7 today at Woodbine. Post time about 4:45. Decorated Invader, the number 2 horse. I always like to root for the hometown team. So you're our hometown team
up in
Saratoga. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun when we can see. And typically in the West Point horses, there are some local guys involved as well. But you guys are all based up in Saratoga. So as they say, I always like to root for the West Point runners. And we'll see what happens this afternoon in the summer. All right. Well, take another taped interview. Robert Tiller, again, wanted to get some thoughts on some of the undercard races if you're playing picks. He's got a couple of maiden special runners that I think are very interesting. And as he notes, these two are in separate races but work together. Have a super day in race number 5 and in race number 8, Queen's Speed. So Robert Tiller up next with some thoughts on those two on today's undercard.
Hey, you got a couple of maidens that I wanted to check on. Fifth race, Have a Super Day, comes in off a 59-bullet workout on the 5th of this month. What are your thoughts for Have a Super Day on Sunday?
Well, you know what? He drew the outside. He drew 9 wide. You know, you don't like to be out there, but that horse can run. If he don't win Sunday, he'll win soon. And I was going to scratch her, but I talked to his owner, and that's me, of course, and decided to run him. So, no, he's got a lot of ability, that horse, and there's no reason to believe that he won't run a good race, and hopefully he'll run a good race, and we'll go from there.
And then in race 8, a 2-year-old filly, Queen Speed. This one also a bullet 59. Were they working together?
Yes, they were. They worked together, and they've improved. Their works have gradually improved. So I'm looking for a good race from her, you know, and we'll be happy with that. And, again, she's a filly. She's a kind of a laid-back filly. I think she'll improve with racing. But they both have ability, and I expect them to run well.
Well, we certainly wish you good luck with those 2-year-olds on the weekend.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flix Bar, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, live from Woodbine. Seth Merrow here on the set. Thanks for joining us. Let's go to another taped interview. Josie Carroll, she's got a couple in today that we're going to talk about, in the Natalma Runway Dancer, in the Woodbine Cares, AV's Samurai. But I wanted to go back also and get a little update. She had a couple of nice winners in the past week. Going back to last Monday, Mr. Ritz won the Presque Isle Mile, so we'll talk about that one and what might be next. And also a nice little maiden winner, Curlin's Voyage, maiden winner here last Sunday, 2-year-old filly, so one maybe to keep our eyes on as well. So a couple of winners over the past week and a couple of potential winners this afternoon, perhaps, for Josie Carroll. Talked about both of those.
Before we get to the horses on the weekend, let me go back a few days, because you've had a couple nice runners over the last week, going back to the beginning of this week, down at Presque Isle Mile.
So Mr. Ritz continues to control the clock. Knight's Key right there, his pesky pace partner. What's Up Dude stays at the rail. More Than Good is running a nice one. Ohio's waiting to pounce. And Special Forces is being uncoiled from the back of the pack. And now Knight's Key is the first one to strike the top. Mr. Ritz battles on with everything he has. Ohio is closing in, and Special Forces fights on too. Mr. Ritz is clinging on to a one-length lead. Ohio is chipping away. Knight's Key has no more to give. On the outside, Special Forces is closing in too. But Mr. Ritz is the Presque Isle Mile champion.
Mr. Ritz, now 5 wins and 10 starts. What was your takeaway from the Presque Isle Mile win earlier this week?
I think he's a horse that's just improved every start. I think he's a horse just coming into his own.
What's the game plan next for Mr. Ritz?
Just speaking to Mr. Mack and the connections, and we're just going to go over what's coming up and make some decisions. You know, let him get over this one first, give him 4 or 5 weeks, and then see where we're going
to
go.
What was the decision-making process to take the trip to Presque Isle?
He loves the synthetic. It was $200,000, and he was in good order. The timing was right.
Also, he had a nice maiden winner. Third career start, Curlin's Voyage won.
Race. Curlin's Voyage has come up swiftly on the outside and forced the hand of Lake Chica to go to the front. On the rails, Barricotti kicks back a little bit. A length behind of the Stronach pair, Bayou Bell on the inside and winning entry. Second last now, Speedy Devil with on the outside, Bold Strike. They go into the turn, 3 furlongs to run. Barricotti's back in front, out by a length in second. Lake Chica coming around them again, Curlin's Voyage. Right behind is Bayou Bell on the inside, winning entry forced a little bit now. And off the track, coming into it is Bold Strike. And on the rails, Speedy Devil. They turn, and it's Lake Chico and Curlin's Voyage at Barricotti's neck as they turn 3 abreast. On the outside, Curlin's Voyage has hit the front, got the lead from Barricotti, Lake Chico, and comes clear. Curlin's Voyage, despite an awkward beginning, is in front by 2 from the back. On the outside, Bayou Bell trying to make ground behind Barricotti, and Bold Strike is out wider. It's Curlin's Voyage coming on to win. Curlin's Voyage by 4 lengths.
Again, earlier this week up here at Woodbine, now 3 in-the-money finishes, including the win in 3 starts. What might be next for Curlin's Voyage?
I mean, our ultimate aim would be the Princess Elizabeth this fall. She is Canadian bred, and she finally got to go 2 turns. You know, the first 2 races, we looked at those stakes because they were some black type for her pedigree, and then she finally got to go the 2 turns, which is ultimately what she wants to do.
And talk a little bit about that. A 2-year-old that you know probably wants a little more distance. Is the game plan in the first few starts just get some experience, get them out there on the track, and then eventually get that distance that they do want?
Yeah, I mean, I've done it both ways depending on the horses, but she was kind of a horse that we thought would need some racing experience. And, I mean, both those stake races were coming up with short fields. She had shown a lot of ability, closed wonderfully in both races. Sort of mission accomplished, got her stake placed. I think she has a bright future.
All right, let's talk about, speaking of bright futures, Runway Dreamer in the Natalma on Sunday. A troubled fourth in her lone start, so she comes into this as a maiden. You must have some high expectations for Runway Dreamer.
I guess we're taking a little bit of a flyer here. Some depth in the field, even though it's a short field. But she was so professional in such a troubled trip on the grass that I thought we'll give her a shot.
And also in the Woodbine Cares, race number 11 on Sunday, 2-year-old fillies and 5 furlongs on the inner turf. AV's Samurai, 2nd in the career debut, but won the latest nicely.
AV's Samurai is coming up easily, though, and AV's Samurai on the outside's gone up to hit the front. They race to the final quarter, and AV's Samurai has disposed of Compensate and got out by a length. They're 5 in front. And try to run home a little bit is Bossolina, but AV's Samurai has raced 3.5 clear. Compensate out of gas and down the outside, Bossolina. Inside the final furlong, it's going to be a piece of cake for this one for AV's Samurai. AV's Samurai is 5 in front. Cairo Diamond a chance to pick up 2nd now. And AV's Samurai wins by 4 lengths.
Lee, what are your thoughts for AV's Samurai on Sunday?
Grass being a little bit unknown, but back family, a grand dam that won the E.P. Taylor, so certainly grass in the family, and she's quick out of the latch. I'm not crazy about the outside post on that turf, but as long as she gets out of there, I think we're good.
Give me your opinion, because we were up here Queen's Plate, and the inner turf was kind of just getting underway. How's the inner turf course played so far this season?
I think it's played pretty fair, and it's a course that's been draining really well. They've been getting a lot of use out of it.
So a lot of turf racing. Betters love that.
A lot of turf racing.
We wish you a lot of good luck on the weekend and again going forward with Mr. Ritz and Curlin's Voyager as well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks and good luck to trainer Josie Carroll. Joined now by our friend Klaus Ebner from Woodbine. Whenever we come up, Klaus takes very good care of us. Good morning.
Morning, Seth.
And before we get underway and talk thoroughbreds, I always want to catch up with you. A sulky side, Klaus, an owner of some sulky horses, part owner of some sulky horses. When we got here, that was the first thing I asked you. And you had one that ran very well just within the past week.
Yeah, I know Tommy was here with West Point. I know they're big in the thoroughbred game. But for me, being in the Sandberg game, in terms of being in the syndicate, it just kind of had a, for me, it was almost like a, this close dream to winning a $300,000 stakes race with a 2-year-old trotting filly I own part of. It's very exciting.
Out at Northfield, right?
Out at Northfield, yeah. So She's going to run on the jug undercard for the two-year-old Ohio bred fillies. Her name's Globetrotting, in case you're following along. She'll probably be one of the favorites again, but I don't mind being a favorite as opposed to being a 60-to-1 shot. No, but mind you, look what happened yesterday, a 44-to-1 shot in the mile.
We'll be rooting for you there. We also mentioned to you when we came to town, we were talking harness, and we said we're going to go down and probably do a remote from Yonkers sometime in October, and you said you got some horses down there, so hopefully one of those will be on the card, and we'll be able to root for that. A couple of years ago, they had a nice crowd over at Saratoga. You were actually in town, coincidentally, and that was fun, going over and watching one of your horses at Saratoga.
So the same horse is actually based out of Yonkers now. So, if you and any of the Capital team want to join in the Winter Circle celebrations, by all means, we'll
rep you. Also, before we get to yesterday and today, we were out at dinner the other night and we were talking a little bit with your girlfriend, and she was smiling because she had won the pool on the trip, but you were over in Europe and you took in a day at York. Talk about that a little. I'd love to get over there. Royal Ascot and York, Newmarket and those kind of places, but talk about the day at York.
Yeah, I really strongly suggest, if anyone can, it's just a very different experience for us in racing in North America. It's really an experience for everyone to kind of wake up, get dressed, enjoy the day, have a little bit of champagne, have a little bit of, afternoon tea if you want. It's only like a 2-hour train ride from London, in that case there from York, so it's just a very different environment. You can see there, and again, it's nothing against our own racing here in North America, but everyone is so vested in terms of their interest of the horses and the racing itself, and it's just very majestic, and the racetracks are very, very beautiful, nothing like we have here. I can't speak enough about how we really, should experience it once in your life.
Yeah, as you say, it's different than we have here. The racetracks, the configuration of sometimes the start is, a mile away, and, it's a kind of a U-shaped course, and a lot of races over there are run on straightaways. It's just a fun, different experience, unlike the racing over here. And as I say, I'd love to go over and catch some Royal Ascot or York or Newmarket. You said you stopped at Newmarket, no racing, but just enjoyed a lot of the history there as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, we were lucky enough to actually book a time to see Frankel as well.
Oh, no.
So we got to see... Got to see the Judmont, breeding operation.
Judmont juggernaut.
Yes. And it's funny because they have Cracksman and Frankel there, Seth. And we were doing a bit of math in terms of the stud fees, and they're telling us how much they actually bred both Frankel and Cracksman to this year. So they're not hurting, let's just say that. So I think on those two stallions alone, I think Judmont was making, again, I'm not trying to, put them down or anything, but that's the business they're in. I think they made like 56 million pounds. Which I think is, close to 60 million U.S. dollars.
Also lends itself to the explanation of how come they leave the track so early. It's hard to make that on the track, certainly they both had very successful careers and allowed us to enjoy them. Oh, and I will note also, just on another note, Enable. You talk about horses leaving early. We have all internationally, with the internet, it's so easy now. She has been so phenomenal, and will continue hopefully in the arc again. But coming over here and trying the Breeders' Cup, they've been very sporting with her. I'm just tossing that in on a broad horse racing note.
Yeah, it's very funny because that's the first question we ask when we're at their own breeding operation. We're like, so, who's she going to? And they're very tight-lipped. They just said, well, let's just get through the racing season first with Enable, and then we'll kind of decide who
I'm guessing
who
that's going to be one of those big announcement kind of things with a fanfare and whatnot. All right, let's talk a little bit before we get to some ideas for today. Go back to yesterday. Wound up to be a nice day, certainly sunny, a little breezy, but it was warm, comfortable, and some great racing. And we're going to watch the stretch run here of the Woodbine Mile. Got Stormy, ran a great race. The number 5 Got Stormy, but coming up the rail under Eureka Da Silva, El Tormenta 44-1. Lucullen runs third, Raging Bull runs fourth, but after a DQ, that switched up. Lucullen winding up fourth and Raging Bull third for betting purposes. But again, we've talked about it a few times. Fun to see Eureka Da Silva. He was so happy. And I don't think, no shame in the second place finish for Got Stormy.
No, not at all. I think there's her third race in about 45 days or so.
Yeah. Two huge efforts at Saratoga.
Yeah, and I think one major thing to note is just that, for today as well, is to make note of that inside rail, because we've had it, the EP Taylor, in about the one or two, lane one or two for the past, 3 or 4 weeks leading into this race, leading into this weekend rather. So that turf is fresh. It hasn't been touched. So, you know, it hasn't had the wear and tear of the outside part of the course has, yeah. Seth. So, and that's where they both were, you know. So he came up the rail and then Gustin runs right beside him. So, you know, it's just that's where the good turf is right now.
Yeah, so it was a fun performance. And Gail Cox, certainly the trainer, was excited up in the press box. They said they were going to go back, look at the horse, and decide Breeders' Cup and whatnot. But you think that's going to be the game plan coming out of this race?
You would think, and especially being Samson Farms, they're never one to shy away from a challenge, you know, whether it be sending their horses to the Breeders' Cup or sending their horses to Japan, like places like Japan, yeah, for Japan Cup. So I definitely don't see them, you know, provided the horse is healthy and comes out of the race well. I don't see why I don't give it a shot.
Also, Old Persian winning the Northern Dancer. I took a little shot against that one, but I said on the handicapping show yesterday, I may be mistaken. I was. Won that one pretty easily, Old Persian. In the Bold Venture, it was Yorkton, Stuart Simon and Chiefswood repeating there, and the unfortunate second year in a row, kind of yeah, crazy, in the same race, Pink Floyd with some gate troubles, winds up again being declared a non-starter, and Starship Jubilee for Kevin Attard on the front end in the Canadian. So it was a nice undercard as well.
Very good. Yeah, it's just, like I said, great day of racing. And like you, Seth, I was burnt by Old Persian. So being burnt by Hawkbill the past 2 years has kind of soured me on some of the Euros coming over for the Northern Dancers. So I tried my luck with Tizza Slam. I thought he'd run well for the locals, but it wasn't his day yesterday.
Yeah, it was, again, a fun result, whether you had it or not. And I will once again tip my cap. We did it during the handicapper support to your local handicapper, Doug McPherson, who the cold super in the Woodbine Mile with the $90 horse on top. And, again, he does the Woodbine Journal. You can find it on the Woodbine website. I'll be checking later.
Yeah. I think we all will now after yesterday, that's for sure. At least just make sure we're not missing anyone. So, yeah.
Let's get some ideas for today. Let's see your thoughts on the 2 2-year-old stakes. Let's start with the summer. We had Tommy Bellhouse in, obviously rooting for the West Point runner, Decorated Invader. I have that one sitting in the third spot. I couldn't get past Keep on Trucking off the first two, which were phenomenal for Catherine Day Phillips. But stretches out, tries the turf. Mystic Lancelot in the mix for me. I think this horse has some real potential for Pletcher off the maiden breaker down at Saratoga. Those were my top three. I think you could juggle them around, but I went 5, 6, 2, and 9. What are your thoughts in the summer?
For me, again, I think Tommy's kind of influenced me to kind of go off my local horse. So I'm actually landing on Decorated Invader. Okay. So after that night, even though we've had a long day that day, Seth, I actually went back and watched a couple of the replays. And I'm just like, he looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So that convinced me, and you know, Westwood has had some success here at Woodbine. So
Untamed Domain a couple
of
years ago.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And I liked him that day. So I went ahead with Decorated Invader on top. I've actually kept Keeping on Trucking. I think I have him for around fourth, but I actually like the four horse. Please call me back in for a second.
Oh yeah, we talked.
We talked to Roger after that morning. I watched the replay as well, and I can see why they added blinkers, because you just seem to, as soon as he got mid stretch, kind of started looking at the grandstand. So I think, you know, with a cleaner trip, stretches out a little bit more to the mile distance, but you know, a little more of that home cooking there. So we'll see what Patrick can do, and also should have, you know, I'm thinking I've kind of predicted a similar run that El Tormenta had in the mile yesterday. So 2-4. I also have the 10 in there talking for Jonathan Thomas. Deceptively good race, I think, that race from Monmouth. I know Monmouth form is kind of suspect at times, sometimes, obviously, but I just, you know.
He's an Augustan runner.
He's burnt me a lot.
When Jonathan Shepherd was training the Augustan horses, I always used to say they come from that Mid-Atlantic region, and then they get a little bit overlooked, and they would pay big prices at Saratoga for me. And now that some of the Augustan horses have moved to other trainers, that one scares me a little bit as
well. Yeah, and the fact that Javier Castellano was happy enough to hop on board. And, yes, I know they had that connection with Catholic Boy and everything, but that one kind of, for me, was more just like, you know what, I don't think I'm going to, you know, steer off that one. You know, you should get a price, especially with Lancelot, and Keep on Trucking.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look at the Talma, the 2-year-old girls. I went 2, 3, 6, and 1. I'm going to take a little shot with Diamond Sparkles coming over from Europe and moving into the Cassie barn. But the horse to beat clearly is going to be Fair Maiden. What are your thoughts on the Talma?
Yeah, I agree with you with Fair Maiden especially. She, that was a pretty impressive performance in the Catch a Glimpse. But I am going to play against her as well. And with, like you, I went with Diamond Sparkles as well. So we landed on the same horse there. Opening Jinx, you were the price on that one.
Well, 10-1, I'm going to be interested to see. I thought, and I had Ernie on yesterday, Ernie Perry, and he really liked Coach Laurie, who was 8-1 on the morning line for Cassie. I'm thinking odds-wise, these two may flip-flop, the two Cassies. I think Diamond Sparkles may go a little shorter. Not short necessarily, but a little shorter than Coach Laurie, because bettors just focus so much on those buyer numbers. Yeah, and the buyer for Coach Laurie, who I have right in the mix as well, and I liked that Ernie liked her. But I think the buyer, so I'll be interested to see where the betting public goes.
Yeah, and then the other horse, again, it's a big question about which race he's going to go into, but I really like Secret Stash. So I watched that replay as well from that race. She's been off quite a while since, you know, early July, so question mark there. But I think it shows a lot of that Mark is actually going to enter her also in the summer there.
Thinking about going against the boys. All right, and we talked before we went on the air. You had one more, a little bit of a price, a horse that you like quite a bit. So I said, well, let's hit on that. Price, let's hear about it and see if we can toss something out there. Race number one, kick people off with a thought.
So this horse here is really like one of those sentimental horses for me, Seth.
We all have them.
The form has been horrible. Don't get me wrong. But in the first race, number one, Silent Sting, I was a really big fan of this horse as a two-year-old and also into the three-year-old career. I thought this horse would be a Queen's Plate horse for me. And all over this horse. But you know what? For me, I kind of looked at the breeding and I said, you know what? I think this horse is going to cry out for turf. And I was hoping that Sid would try this horse on the turf this year as a four-year-old, because obviously, you know, Triple Crown campaign done in Canada. For me, it's just one of those things. I've always been waiting for this horse to go short on the turf, and today's the day. Yes, it's been a layoff since June, so maybe a bit of a freshener there for Siddhartha. But again, off recent form, no shot.
But third start back, the surface switch, and clearly the horse had a lot of promise early in the career. This is the one where I think you can take a shot at a little bit of a price. So, again, the opener, number one, Silent Sting. Yeah. Klaus, appreciate the visit. Not only that, since you are here personally as a representative for Woodbine, I will personally thank you for the hospitality. Always enjoy it.
And it's always great having you, Seth. And, again, anything we can do for you guys, we always enjoy doing. And especially, I know you mentioned it yesterday to the fans, and, you know, by all means, please reach out to myself or some of our team if you're ever interested in coming up to Woodbine, we'll make sure to take care of you.
So. Yeah, I highly recommend the trip. I keep saying it. It's a nice shot up the thruway. Take a ride at Buffalo, another 45 minutes or an hour or so, and you can visit Buffalo and whatnot. And if people time it right, as I'm thinking about it, you can do a little Woodbine, a little Fort Erie, a little Finger Lakes. You could make a whole kind of racetrack weekend of it as well. But Woodbine, a lot of fun. Highly recommended. Klaus, again, thanks quite a bit for the hospitality.
Our pleasure, sir. Our pleasure.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, going to wind things up, we'll talk to Roger Atfield and talk a little bit about Please Call Me right after this break. So stay tuned. Racing Across America will continue.
As an owner, I love the Breeders' Cup Win and Earn Series.
To win one of these challenge series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our Win and Earn race, provides the top middle distance horse in Europe. We saw Highland Reel run in both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win and you're in.
Conquistador's Cielo puts ahead in front. Aloma's Rule on the outside is second. And Runaway Groom from Canada moves up. Runaway Groom alongside the inner two. Those three to the wire. Runaway Groom, Aloma's Ruler, Conquistador Cielo, Runaway Groom in front.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back. We talked a moment ago about Roger Atfield and Please Call Me. And when we talked to him on Friday morning, caught him outside his barn, just hopping off the horse, having taken a set to the track. But we talked a little bit about Please Call Me. So we'll get some thoughts on that stakes performer from trainer Roger Atfield.
On to Sunday in the summer, you have Please Call Me Back. Couple of starts so far, a win in the debut effort, and then you try them in Stakes Company last time, a good second.
A hustle trying to come after this one again. They're well ahead, about five to Please Call Me Back. And then came on the outside, Kachina starting to wind up. Ombrazo still well behind too, but here they come again with Mr. Hustle. And it was just a little bit of tactical move. He's gone past Barilko, and now Please Call Me Back is running with Kachina down the outside. Inside the final furlong, and it's Mr. Hustle by two to Please Call Me Back and Kachina, and down inside the final 16th, Mr. Hustle has it won, and so a very nice winning ride again. Rafael Hernandez, Mr. Hustle from Please Call Me Back.
But that was 6 furlongs, 6.5, goes a mile on Sunday. Your thoughts on Please Call Me Back?
Yeah, well, he was second to my really good horse that got hurt a little bit, so he was the one that was actually going to run in this race.
Mr. Hustle.
Yeah. But Please Call Me Back showed that he wants to go further anyway, and he was running a very nice race in the race that he was second in. And so he deserves a shot at this, and he's been training very well, and I'm looking forward to it a lot, actually.
So the mile not only not an obstacle, you're thinking he's going to appreciate going a little further.
Oh, no question. No question about that, yeah, for and sure.
Before we let you go, you said you just got in from Keeneland, so I'm assuming you were down there for Book One. What were your impressions? Because reading from afar, it seemed like a lot of fireworks in Book One.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of money around, isn't it? But, yeah, we bought a couple of horses there, and, the market's very, very strong. And, the really good horses made a lot of money, for sure, it was a slog, it was a lot of horses to see, and it was exceptionally hot down there, but good solid sales so far, for sure.
So we'll look for some of those horses maybe up here next year as two-year-olds then, and we wish you a lot of good luck with them, but certainly a lot of good luck over the weekend as well.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Please Call Me Back in this afternoon's summer for Roger Atfield. And I will note, finished second last time to the talented Mr. Hustle, who Roger talked about not making this race, obviously. But two starts back in the career debut, the maiden breaker for Please Call Me Back, a debut maiden breaker. The second place finisher there was Tappet to Win, who was the nice winner at Saratoga for Mark Cassie. So that may have flattered Please Call Me Back as well for this afternoon's summer. All right, just before we wrap it up, some quick comments from Mark Cassie's assistant, David Adams. When we were out on the backstretch on Friday, Mark hadn't arrived in town yet, so we caught up with his assistant, David Adams, and got, as I say, just some quick thoughts on some of the Sunday afternoon runners from the Cassie barn.
Move on to some of the Sunday entrants, because you have some stakes, some of the two-year-old stakes, some entries in there, proven strategies. Still a maiden, comes out of a second up at Saratoga.
Turning for home here with a three-length lead. Another miracle trying to close the gap now with a furlong to run. Then comes proven strategies in third, followed by memorable on the inside. Another miracle is getting to Montauk Daddy and goes on by. Manny Franco and another miracle have taken the lead, and they're going to win the Skidmore. Second was close. Proven strategies may have got up on the outside of Montauk Daddy.
However, improving buyers, the thoughts on proven strategies on Sunday.
Well, Mark entered him in there thinking that he can run really well. He should like the distance going a mile on the turf. So, and we had him here before he went down to Saratoga, and he trained really well here. So we think that he should run well.
Also in the summer on Sunday, Kachina ran fourth in the Sanford down at Saratoga. Last time third in a stake up here at Woodbine. Thoughts on Kachina on Sunday?
Well, Kachina, he's been training well, so we hope that he ran not a good race later, how he come up the last race too.
Couple of Europeans also. You have the Philly Secret Stash cross-entered in both of the stakes, and Diamond Sparkles and Natalma. They're fairly new in the barn, so any thoughts there? When did they arrive?
They arrived a couple of days ago, and since then they've been trained. They trained well over the St. Edith service, and so they've been training well, so we hope that they ran well on Sunday.
Also in the Natalma, Coach Laurie won the debut back beginning of August. That was 5 furlongs on the turf. Coach Lori seems to be working well. Thoughts on her and Natalma?
Well, we think a lot of her before she went into her first race, and then after she came on her race, she's been training really, really well. So we think she should ride a big race on Sunday.
Wish you a lot of luck on the weekend.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks to David Adams, Mark Cassie's assistant, and all the trainers, and Jockey Eureka Rosa Da Silva as well, who took the time on Friday to sit down for some interviews. Hopefully gave you some good information to jump on board. Certainly yesterday we had three winners out there that were interviews on yesterday's show, with Eureka Da Silva winning the Woodbine Mile, and Stuart Simon with Yorkton, as well as Kevin Attard with Starship Jubilee. Hopefully we can keep that streak going with this morning's show. Also want to thank live this morning Tom Bellhouse. They have the runner in the summer this afternoon for West Point Thoroughbreds, and our friend Klaus Ebner from Woodbine as well for sitting in live with us this morning. Also, we want to thank overall the folks at Woodbine, because again, the hospitality when we get here is just fabulous. We really enjoy all our visits up here. Again, this is our second visit this year after visiting the Queen's Plate, and I think fourth year we've been up here doing these shows. Always want to hear from you if you enjoy our on-the-road shows. CapitalOTB.com. Check out the website and then go to Twitter or Facebook page and let us know there. Or viewermail@capitalotb.com. Love to hear from you. Questions, comments, or suggestions, or just a thumbs up if you like these shows on the road and the information you get. Viewermail@capitalotb.com. Again, thanks to the folks at Woodbine TV department. They're always great. Big help putting us up here on the second floor and getting everything ready for the broadcasts. A couple of hours of live TV is a lot of work, so we appreciate everybody in the TV department at Woodbine, the Woodbine management for hosting us, the media folks who kind of guide us around while we're here and take care of us as far as putting together 2 hours of live TV. Brian Dorenzo behind the camera here down in the Albany studio, Dino Cantonacci and Dan Hayes. Thanks to all of them for making me look good as I can look anyway. Also, Sully for sitting in on the handicapper support the past couple of days and bouncing around with us over the last few days at Woodbine. Going to wrap things up. I will note, as we're wrapping up, it clouded up over the last 15 minutes or so, and it looks like a little sprinkle maybe. So just keep your eyes on the weather, because it was a gorgeous day earlier. Hopefully it will clear out and continue that way. But again, keep your eyes on the weather as the day progresses, and jump in, play some Woodbine action today, because it looks like a fabulous card, particularly the two grade one stakes races for two-year-olds this summer in the Natalma. All right, wrapping things up live from Woodbine, racing across America. We'll see you back in the studio a little bit later this week. Seth Merrill saying thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.